morning, church, once again. Before saying bye to you all, we just want to thank you all, especially Pastor Jeff and the team and all the believers gathering here. We are from bottom of our heart. We are really grateful to you. We are thankful to you. We are grateful to the Lord for you all. And whatever you are doing for us and for the kingdom of God. So, finally, saying bye. If we see meet again, that will be good. Otherwise, we will see you there.
Good. We are humbled in the presence of God, and we thank the church, and we thank the pastor and each one who is related to us. Pastor was saying that I should just give a brief thing about Cambodia, because some of you missed previous Sunday evening we presented the thing. So I press the arrow here, Stephen. A space bar, okay. Okay, Cambodia, we have already talked about it, and it is a Buddhist country where not only Buddhists are 95%, and there are Muslims, and there are Christians, and also other minorities there. And so that we see that we need to minister to them. Buddhism is not actual Buddhism. There is Hindu ritualistic culture that has got into it. Animism also is inclusive in the Buddhism in Cambodia. There are some Baha'i faith people, and Judaism is a handful of followers there. And of course, the cultic groups like Mormons and other cultic groups are getting in there, trying to distract. So we need to pray that God will minister to the new believers to know the Word of God. That's why we are there, to teach and to encourage them to get into the depth of the Word and not just a superficial Christian life. Past few months, last year, we've been particularly involved in this with the children here, a group of children there, and we invested our lives in not only teaching English, but also in teaching spiritual things, and they have learned the Word of God and memorized it, and we encourage them in that way. Then we also see this is a beautiful granddaughters. They all call us grandpa and grandma. So they were ready for dancing on Christmas. So this is how they were dressed up. And we also mentored the staff of the organization. And these were the staff which we taught every 3 days in a week, every morning. And we trained them in many areas of homiletics and discipleship and spiritual warfare and different things. So that was our involvement. And also we were visiting villages and hospitals, feeding programs, and preaching or teaching to the pastors. There were over 50 pastors who come once a month, and we were teaching them and also teaching English to the young children there. Of course, this is vision patchwork passed on through Amini, and she was able to train in spite of her sickness. And then she was little well, and she trained them to do the patchwork thing. And now we are going back to Sehanakville, that is southwest of Cambodia. Sehanakville means jaw of a lion. That's the meaning. That's why the lion symbol is found there. Then the second name in Khmer or Khmer suggests that port of the moon or Shiva's port. Shiva is the god or in Hinduism, so they call it in that way. Okay, and Sihanoukville also is a port city. And it's the only port city actually, which is a thing. And the Chinese are quite a bit there, and they are investing a lot of money, and they are building a lot of casinos. There are already 95 casinos in that small city. So a lot of people falling into the trap, and there are a lot of stories about it. So we need to pray as we go there. And a lot of tourists also there, and of course prostitution is a family business, and we need to pray for these young girls that God will deliver them and speak to them. There are many, many ministries working among them, but very few who stand, who stay back in faith, and otherwise they go back to the business. This is where we will be going, and that's on your right is the scene of the Bible school, and it is the classroom that we will be teaching in. So that is a brief thing about Cambodia. Now let's go back. Let me share with you a few things, and let us pray. Father, I pray that words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts will be acceptable unto you, Lord. Amen. Okay, our wishes for you, 2019, seven promises God gives. I was prepared, I prepared a message, and it was all ready. Then I felt, no, I should change it. So on Friday morning, I felt compelled to change it. And it's more than, it is not a message, it's more an exhortation, rather, I would say. So here we see the reason why most people face future with apprehension instead of anticipation is because they don't have it well designed. That's a human tendency, that we would like to have everything for us, but we cannot do it because we are not designers of our life. God designs our life. God designs our life. I was just going through some of the Old Testament characters, and I just thought about Abraham. Abraham, we can say Abraham was called out of his comfort zone. Abraham was called from his family. He said, you separate yourself, come, then I will give you a promised land. I will give you a blessing. So that call was unique call, and Abraham would have known about Jehovah in his life. Abraham and his family business was making idols and clay pots and things like that. But God said, okay, you leave all those things. Come, I will bless you. So there was an obedience in Abraham's life. It was a difficult journey for him. And he had to fight many struggles. But he obeyed the voice of God, and God blessed him. At the same time, he took Lot also with him. And what happened? Lot chose a greener place, and he also lived in a place. What? Oh, did you? Yeah, he chose a greener place, and he lived in that place. That place became Sodom and Gomorrah, a difficult place. But he somehow kept the faith, I guess, and he became a reasonable, righteous person, and God had mercy upon him. Abraham, of course, fought for him, questioned God, can you destroy if there is 5 righteous people? I mean, he told all the numbers and finally he came to 5, but God did not. But God had mercy on Lot also. So, Abraham was a righteous person and also a man of faith. He was called out. So, God is calling us out of our comfort zone, out of our own thinking, rationalism, and he calls us out to believe in what he is going to do. He is going to design your life. He is going to guide you in that way of righteousness. So when we talk about righteousness, who is our righteousness? Christ is our righteousness. We are clothed with righteousness of Christ when we accept him. In Psalms 11:7, it says, loves the righteous. God loves the righteous. And in Psalms 34:15, it says, the eyes of the Lord is upon the righteous. In Psalms 7:11, it says, he judges the righteous. He not only loves you, he looks upon us as a righteous people, but he will also judge us. That is the important thing that we need to know. We don't become righteous in one shot. It is a process of experiencing righteousness in our life. Then we see life of Moses. Moses was a murderer. He murdered and ran away, but God chose him. God chose him. In your life, there may be many difficulties and trials, but God loves you. Once you repent and follow him, he would like to invest in your life so that you could be turned to him, to glorify him, and to do what he wants you to do. Then we see that similar to Moses, I mean, we could be a wretchedest person. I mean, there are people who have been having past life, but turn away from that. God will speak to you even through the burning bush. Then we see Joseph. He was a slave, but he became a prime minister. You know? So, in your life situation, you could be around that kind of situation. You're enslaved to something, but God will deliver you. If you obey, you know, if you obey and continue to practice what God has in his word for us. So, Joseph became a fruitful bough, it says. So, we see that a lot of examples in the Old Testament. Even Elijah, we do not know much about his background, but he became the mouthpiece of God, a prophet, and he stood strong among the heathen people. 400 priests of Baal, he was alone, and God did a miracle through him. So God can do a miracle in your life. God can use you. Don't think that you are nobody. You know, a certain part of time, Elijah also felt, you know, I this is enough for me. I'm going to go away and sit down under the juniper tree. But God did not leave him. He fed him and made him to walk again and do what he wants him to do. So we see all these illustrations in the Old Testament about how God used his chosen people. So they were called out. Moses was chosen to be a great leader, and Joseph became a prime minister. We see all those things. Now, what is the 7 blessings that I would like to leave with you for this year? Isaiah 43 verse 2. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. I will be with you. That is the promise that God gives. I mean, maybe many a times that you would have read it, Many a times when you are sad and depressed, you would have turned to this chapter and read these verses. You know? So the verse, it says, when you pass through waters, that means there will be situations in your life that water could overflow you. I mean, you may be a drowning situation that may come in your life. And but he said, I will be with you. But we need to recognize that God is always with us in every kind of trouble. It could be crossing the Red Sea, you know, where when Moses was guiding them. They crossed the Red Sea and the enemies were persuading the people of Israel. And there were murmurs and grumbles, and but Moses kept on going. God took care of that thing. And God departed the Red Sea and he was able to destroy the enemies and they were safe other side. And we see the troubles like in Daniel's time, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they were sent through fire. I mean, the literal fire was there. And they did not obey king's command, but they stood for their faith. They stood for their faith. But in spite of standing for their faith, they had to go through the fire. They had to go through the fire to find the Son of Man walking along with him. You know, that's the promise that God gives you. And he says, I will walk through the fire with you. So don't be worried. And you need to stand for the truth, stand for the faith that God has given you. Okay. I will protect you. There's another promise, isn't it? The Lord will keep you from all evil, and he will keep your life. Verse 8, it says, the Lord will keep your going and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. So God's keeping us for a purpose, and it is not temporal, it is eternal. So he knows when you go out, that means when you walk away from your faith, he knows when you come in. You know, you fluctuate many a times, but he will say, God says, I will protect you. But you need to depend upon him, totally surrender unto him. That is what God desires from us. So keep that in mind. Don't ever worry saying that, oh, nobody knows my struggles. Nobody is, you know, caring about me. Nobody loves me. Never say that, because God is with you and he is protecting you in every situation. Okay, the four the promises, Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and he is safe. So he is our strength. He will protect us. How? When we run into him, because he is righteous. He is a righteous tower. We see that a lot of towers are built around the world. And everybody thinks once they build their tower, they are superpower. But God says he is the righteous tower. We need to run into him. So when we go into that, you know, I've been to two towers, one in 1990 in Chicago. That was the tallest building that time. And they took us, and it was awesome to look at it. Then we went to the Gold Coast the other day, and we went to the 77th floor and saw the thing. So, you know, when you run into, I mean, if you want to go into the tower, they take you through the lift, and they make sure that you are safe, and there are barricades and everything. So God is like that. God is our strong tower. We need to run into him. So the righteous God is our fortress. So Jesus paid for us to be strong. Jesus paid the price so that we could be enjoying the protection of our God. Jeremiah 33:3, that's a most common word, promise that we can say, call unto me and I will answer you and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. So I will answer. Many times we are so frequent in calling our friends and crying out and say, okay, this is my problem, what to do? But you will not get answers from your friends. But if you call to Jesus, if you call to God and say, He said, I will answer you. I will answer you. What is your problem today? Are you willing to call Jesus? Are you willing to go and say, cry out to Jesus and say, Lord, here I am. I have this problem. I need an answer for that. He will answer our prayers. He will answer our prayers. So, as another one, the sixth one, it says Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plan for welfare and not for evil, to give a future and hope. So I will provide you. He plans our life. Psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's a total satisfaction when you make the Lord your leader, your shepherd. Obey Him, follow Him, hear His voice. Then there is provision. Then there is provision. There is protection. And He precedes you in every form of your life. If you allow Him to take control of your life. If you think you will plan your life, if you think you can do better than God can do, you will fail. But if you just trust in Him, give yourself to Him, then He will take care of you and every aspect of your food, your clothing, your shelter. But there will be struggles, but you need to be consistent in believing in Him and He will care for you. This has been our experience too in our missionary life. Almost 48 years in the missions, we have experienced God's provision. We don't mention our needs to many people, or we don't ask, okay, give us, but we trust God. When we were in India, lot of struggle we went through in the ministry, and God always answered our prayers. In the last minute of, you know, if we have to pay the bills, God provided us. So this has been a practical experience for us, and that we are passing on to you. The seventh promise is this, or sixth promise. Yeah, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So I will give you peace. When Jesus rose again and He went to His disciples, He said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. That is a comforting Savior, that He gives us peace. A peace that beyond our understanding. It is not that we could achieve through worldly things. You know, if you go to a park and sit down and relax and have your barbecue, that will not give you peace. It is a peace, internal peace, that transforms you. In a peace that will draw you closer to God at all times. So that peace that He gives to us. So let not your heart be troubled. I don't know why the Spirit of God, I mean the songs also that we sang were almost very related to the things that we are talking about now. So His peace is everlasting peace. It's beyond our understanding. That peace He is giving to you now. If you trust Him, allow Him to give that peace to you. So, finally, Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I loved you with everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. I will always love you. So it is not only we loving God, but he says, I will continue my faithfulness to you. It is an eternal love, a love that will comfort us, a love that will protect us, a love that will provide us, the love that will precede us, the love that engulfs us, you know, as a strong tower. This is the love that God is giving unto you. Today in your life, maybe there are issues in your life that you have not left it. You have not left the past. You are clinging on to it and you're not letting it go. Maybe this is a time that you need to let it go and listen to the voice of God and say, come out. You have to come out to trust in him. If you've not accepted Christ as a Savior, this is an opportunity for you to accept him as a personal Savior so that you can be delivered from your struggles. You can be delivered from your oppressions. You can be delivered from the devil and his clutches. Trust in him. Trust in him and follow him. Maybe this does it play? No? Okay. So that's a message that I want to leave with you to this year. And may God continue to bless you and guide you. May the grace of God be with each one of you. So maybe a tick. A few moments, if you are not repented of anything, not only your sins and your past, maybe this is an opportunity for you to repent and say, Lord, here I am. I want you to be with me. I want you to be with me, Lord. And I want to experience you. I want to experience you deeper in my life. Shall we close our eyes and pray? Dear God, we do want to thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that you are ever so loving and caring. Thank you for this I will in our lives and the promises that you give. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the peace. Thank you for the protection. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for everything that you have promised, O God. We pray that we will learn to call unto you in our distress. Learn to submit ourselves when we need to submit ourselves to you, Lord, and your authority in our lives. Pray that you will take away our selfish ambitions. Pray that you will give us ambition to follow you, Lord, truly. We know that we are living in a difficult situation in this world. We do not know what will hold tomorrow, but you hold tomorrow. You hold our lives. We pray, Father, that each one who is seated here, Lord, will experience the greatest blessings in their lives, O God. Give them the desire to run into the strong, righteous tower. Bless, O God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.